ongoing diplomatic standoff between India and Canada that started with Justin Trudeau's claim that Indian agents may have been involved in the killing of a Khalistani terrorist on Canadian soil shows no signs of ending. India has fiercely rejected Trudeau's assertions as baseless and absurd. New Delhi has also denied Trudeau's claim that Canada shared any information on this killing. For the first time, a top U.S. diplomat has bagged Trudeau's allegation, saying that Indian government agents were behind the killing of Hardeep Singh Nijjar. U.S. Ambassador to Canada, David Cohen, has said in an interview to Canada's CTV news channel that there was shared intelligence among Five Eyes partners that informed Trudeau's public allegation of a potential link between the government of India and the murder of a Canadian citizen and Khalistani terrorist Hardeep Singh Nijjar.
So I'm not. I wouldn't in any circumstance. I think I've already gone further than you should have expected that I'd be willing to go by confirming that there was shared intelligence among Five Eyes partners that helped lead Canada to making the statements that the Prime Minister made.
So what really is this Five Eyes network? This is an intelligence alliance consisting of the United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. It is both surveillance-based and signals intelligence. And this alliance encourages cooperation between different intelligence agencies of these five countries. Till now, US, UK, and Australia have individually reacted on the ongoing controversy, but there has not been any joint statement by Five Eyes on it. We asked today on the show that while there have been fantastic claims made by Justin Trudeau, can and will Canada back these claims with any substantial proof? Meanwhile, the Indian agencies have intensified crackdown on the Khalistani terrorists and facilitators based in different countries. Sources have told NDTV that the NIA has prepared a list of 19 Khalistani terrorists based in US, UK, Dubai and Pakistan. The anti-terror agency is likely to seize their properties in India. This comes a day after the NIA attached properties of radical group Sikhs for Justice founder and its chief, Gurpatwant Singh Pannu. So what does it mean now going ahead? Will Canada be providing substantive, credible evidence as it has been claiming? Because there seems to be none. Let me bring in my guests. Michael Kugelman is director, South Asia Institute, the Wilson Center. We have Harsh Pant, head of strategic studies, ORF. Suresh Goyal is former ambassador and also director general of ICCR, which is Indian Council of Cultural Relations. Ambassador Goyal, beginning with you, U.S. Ambassador David Cohen, as you heard from him, has told Canadian CTV News Network that there was shared intelligence among Five Eyes partners that led Canadian Prime Minister to make that statement. Question is, what's stopping them to share it directly with the Indian government, and what's stopping these five nations to issue a joint statement?
Maria, first of all, I'm a retired DG ICCR. I retired 10 years ago. Just for that's a bit of a correction. Now, coming back to the question that you asked, there are two parts to it. One is, it's very clear that the USA had shared information on the Five Eye network with Canada on what possibly could have been an involvement in assassination of Nijjar. Now, possible sharing of information, intelligence information, does not necessarily mean having solid evidence, confirming evidence. Normally, and again, just like Ambassador Cohen, I'm really stretching my neck out in this case, but I'm retired and therefore I'm not in much of a danger. Normally, what happens in these cases is that when this information is shared between friendly countries or between two countries, then the countries which is alleged to have committed something which they should not have done, they would come back with their own information on the basis of what they have been given, adding to that what they have, to either
but
deny...
But, Ambassador Goel, shouldn't the onus be on the country which is leveling this allegation? Because at the moment, the reaction that has come in from the Indian establishment is that it appears to be outlandish and clearly exaggerated.
I'm coming up with, and I said I'm stretching my neck out of this case, I'm coming up with what the normal process of the modus operandi in these cases is. So the on the basis of the information or the so-called credible allegations, whatever that have been given, the country which has been accused will either deny or say yes. And in case they have any evidence to completely put it down in the trash can, they will say that, look, there is no evidence as such. Now, the thing is, so far, we are not saying that there is no evidence on this. They are saying, please give us what evidence you have. So it is becoming a bit of a rigmarole really here. But the point again, I'm saying there are two parts to it. This part of credible information, not having credible information, is totally meaningless. We can always say that there is no background, there is no evidence to this. Nobody will be leaving any evidence. These are the kind of things which happen between countries all the time. So the point is not this. The point is that Trudeau actually made a mistake by going on the floor of parliament and making the allegation. More important point is that the USA is not backing out of it. The USA is saying that we will expect India to cooperate. The political part of it, that is more important, and we need to work on the political part of it by ensuring that our friendly countries among G7, 5i, etc., they understand our point of view. And they ask
so India has to communicate its viewpoint far more carefully and at the same time assert it, Harsh Pant, because that clearly seems to be the case. Because if you look at the Americans, they have largely tried to avoid triggering any diplomatic blowback from India.
Well, Maria, I think that is to be expected. And I think what the American envoy to Canada also said, look, that we have information that has been shared. Five Eyes, as you were explaining to the viewers earlier, is a very old institutional mechanism amongst the Anglosphere countries, and they regularly share information amongst themselves. Sharing of information does not automatically become evidence. Sharing of information is amongst like-minded countries. You share all kinds of information. Five Eyes have also shared information with each other. Therefore, you see a difference in the way Americans have reacted and other Five Eyes countries have reacted to this dispute. Unlike in the past, most of the times when we have seen Five Eyes countries targeting any individual country, there is unison in both in words and in deeds. This time we are seeing a disconnect, which is quite evident in the way different Five Eyes members are framing their response to this crisis. And I think that's to be expected, because intelligence by definition is embedded in the larger geopolitics of what is happening around us. So I think what Mr. Trudeau has done, he has put the proverbial cart before the horse. He has, without, I think in some ways, trying to figure out whether the information that he has leads to a credible allegation, credible investigation, and what that investigation reveals. He has, I think, in some ways, revealed his cards. Now, I think, as you're rightly saying, it is in ball is in some ways in our court how we communicate, how we engage with our other like-minded countries, because it is very clear that many of the countries are reticent. We have seen, for example, many countries in the global south, including Brazil, saying this is a bilateral matter between India and Canada, and they have to resolve it bilaterally,
Harsh Pant, etc. That clearly has been the case, the manner in which various countries which form this Five Eyes have been responding to it. Because, individually, they have been saying that India should cooperate, but when it comes to a joint statement, that hasn't really come. Michael, really appreciate your time. I mean, given the nature of allegations, which has been raised by none other than the Canadian Prime Minister himself, and Washington, of course, saying that they are closely coordinating, but the larger question is, did he really jump the gun? Should he have actually made these allegations on the floor of the House?
Well, certainly, Prime Minister Trudeau took several risks when he decided to go public. One reason is that, of course, he's jeopardized the relationship with India. I think that the bilateral relationship would not be nearly as tense had he not gone public, though, of course, there were considerable tensions even before. But I think the other risk that came out when he decided to go public is that there's now more pressure on him from both Canada and also India and beyond to actually show evidence. And so that means that, you know, this is really it's not just a diplomatic issue and that there's pressure from India and there's a crisis with India, but it's also a domestic political crisis for Trudeau in a way, in that at home you have a lot of pressure from the opposition and others in the political class and the public calling for more evidence. That's what happens when you decide to go public with the allegations. You know, there's been a lot of speculation about why he decided to go public. It's not my role to say why. I don't know for sure. But I think that probably from Canada's perspective, the view would be that the government was so confident that these allegations were correct that they felt it was necessary for them to put this out there to the Canadian public and to the world. But again, when you do that, the next question logically is going to be, well, show me the evidence. Of course, I think that the Canadian government, like most governments, would be reluctant to actually put evidence in the public sphere just because that could compromise intelligence tactics and so on. And you need to be very careful in that regard. But yeah, I mean, he is in a tough spot, though indeed, because of Canada's close relationships and alliances with the U.S. and the other Five Eyes allies, you know, he's going to get a lot of sympathy and he's going to get a lot of solidarity from a number of key partners. But indeed, the U.S. and the other Five Eyes partners need to be very cautious how they go about this, because they all view, or for the most part, they view India as a critical partner.
Yeah, because they are trying to make it sound like a bilateral issue. Yes, if there is indeed an evidence, as is being hinted by the Five Eyes, the question is that it puts onus on all these Five Eyes countries to put those evidence in the public domain.
Right, that's true. But again, I think that any of these governments, not just the Canadian government, would be a bit reluctant to actually put evidence out there because of the, you know, the what I had said before, not wanting to compromise the methods that were used by intelligence agents. It's all very sensitive, for sure. But yes, this is the risk that Trudeau took by going public, that there's now going to be a lot more pressure. Now, we know that there have been some reports that I find credible, that when President Biden was in New Delhi for the G20 summit, that he brought up this issue with Prime Minister Modi when they met. And, you know, so in that case, there could have been some information shared then. I don't know. But I think we have to look at this in the broader context, that the position from the U.S. side and the Canadian side is that indeed there actually has been conversations and information conveyed to the Indian side. In terms of specific evidence, that I don't know, but conversations have happened. And let's not forget that a senior Canadian official visited India several weeks ago to discuss this issue as well. The assassination happened 3 months ago. So there has been time to have conversations. Conversations have taken place. Hmm. But indeed, Delhi has said that no evidence was conveyed. But I think that some of the Five Eyes partners would think of this issue differently.
And Ambassador Goyal, what we are seeing is that Indian government is on an offensive. They have gone ahead and, you know, the NIA has attached properties of radical group, that is Sikhs for Justice founder. They have also gone ahead and prepared a list of 19 Khalistani terrorists who are based in US, UK, Dubai and Pakistan. Mm. So they have decided not to let Canada decide the narrative in this case, because they are convinced about the role of Niger in the larger, you know, promoting terrorism outside, Canada.
You know, again, my gut feeling in this particular case is that we can take whatever action we need to take in terms of marginalizing the terrorist part of the narrative, in terms of shortlisting them, et cetera, et cetera. That's all within our prerogative. We should do that. In fact, we should be very tough on the internal side, internal impact of the terrorism, whether it is in Khalistan, Punjab or Jammu Kashmir, wherever it is. But the point really here is, are we targeting the right country as a matter of retaliation? Or is that country basically just doing what they were supposed to be doing, and the political fallout is actually coming from somewhere else? And my sense is that what we need to work on is the political part of it. The political part of it will depend upon India and the other countries.
Are you looking at diplomatic fallout more than the political fallout here? Because if anything, it is domestic compulsions by all indication, which is forcing Trudeau to do what he is doing.
I was talking about the political fallout, not the diplomatic fallout. Diplomatic fallout we can manage. It's not a problem. But the political fallout, because we are, after G20, we are emerging as a country with an effective voice in various multilateral arrangements. And they will all feel the heat of it. Maybe short term, but they will feel the heat of it. And that is where we need to really work.
Harshpant, I have 30 seconds for you, then I'll give the final word to Michael.
Well, you know, I would say, Maria, this is an interesting case where India perhaps legitimately now can put the spotlight on Canada's role in fighting extremism. You know, we have always said that, look, Canada is a close strategic ally. We don't want to embarrass Canada. And we have been trying to say, look, we have enough dossiers in place. We will provide you all the information. Please do something about it. Now that Mr. Trudeau has taken the route that he has taken for whatever reasons, I think this is also a time to squarely shine the light on what perhaps has been one of the countries that, despite saying all kinds of right word, he talks about rules-based order. But when you look at Canada's own record in fighting extremism and terrorism, it has always been extremely problematic. And I think India should, or diplomatically, as a collective enterprise with like-minded countries, also talk about this much more robustly than we have done in the past.
Okay. Michael, where does it all lead to now?
I think that, Harsh actually made a very good point. In the coming days, India does have a challenge in trying to get Washington and a number of other key capitals to understand the issue and the seriousness of the Khalistan threat. I would argue that in Washington, many don't really understand and really have a good sense of the context of this story, particularly, looking back to how things were in the 80s and the early 90s when you actually had the violent Khalistan insurgency. It's not talked about that much. There's not that much scholarship on it here. So I think that it is an opportunity for India to put that narrative forward, because it doesn't have much traction, I would argue, in Washington. A lot of people don't know about it, don't know the context, don't know the history. So I think that there is an opportunity for India in that regard.
Right, Michael Kugelman, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Harsh Pant and Ambassador Suresh Goyal, thank you for sharing your thoughts and sharing your perspective on this story.